Prepare to have your health questions answered here on Safe, Effective, Natural Solutions with Dr. Todd Binkley, owner of Binkley Healing Center in downtown Ventura. Now, here's Dr. Todd.
Good afternoon. I'm Dr. Todd Binkley, board-certified doctor of non-force chiropractic and practitioner of functional medicine. Today we're going to talk about some of the latest research that's come out in the medical press. Exciting things documenting the benefits of wine on cardiovascular health. And we're going to talk about some of the new FDA healthy food claim rules that are appearing on food in supermarkets. And also some connections between wildfire smoke and dementia. But before we get into that, I'd like to remind you that if you like what you hear on this show and you want to hear more, maybe you've only just heard a tiny portion, you can always listen to all of the past episodes anytime you like on demand on my website, BinkleyHealingCenter.com. That's Binkley Healing, like health and healing, Center, BinkleyHealingCenter.com, as well as on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube by just searching for my name and the name of the show, Safe, Effective, Natural Solutions. And if you want to contact me directly, the best way is email. And my email address is drbinkley@binkleyhealingcenter.com. D-R-B as in boy, I-N-K-L-E-Y @binkleyhealingcenter.com. I love fielding questions about any health-related subject. All questions are good questions, so please get those in to me. The purpose of this show is primarily to describe various aspects of functional medicine and how that might help you. So what is functional medicine? Functional medicine means using standard diagnostic tests like blood tests, saliva tests for hormones, urine tests for toxin exposure, hair tests and urine tests for heavy metal exposure, stool tests for chronic gut inflammation conditions, and any other standard diagnostic scans, also CAT scans, MRIs, any other standard diagnostic tests that all doctors use for diagnosing and treating disease can also be used for finding earlier signs of things that need support. Stress on your liver and your kidneys and your cardiovascular system and your immune system. How healthy are you really on the inside? Well, the only way to you're as different on the inside as you are on the outside. And the only way to know for sure how healthy you are is to do diagnostic testing. And the best way to find out what testing is most appropriate for you or someone you love is to do an initial consultation with me. And that usually takes a half hour and costs as little as $100. Someone asked me the other day, where do I get all the information that I talk about on this show? And it is mainly from the medical press, I think places like Medscape and MedPage, who publish numerous releases every week, dozens of them that I subscribe to, Medscape General Medicine and Medscape for Neurology, for Cancer, for Autoimmune Conditions, for Gastroenterological Conditions, etc. And so anybody can access this information, but it requires time to keep up with and weed through. I don't report on all of the stuff about pharmaceuticals. It's not of interest to my listeners in this show or me for that much. But I do, you know, consider it a part of my job to translate the latest medical research into language anyone can understand so that you can incorporate it into the list of considerations you use to make choices about your health. So somebody asked me the other day also, why doesn't my regular doctor do this? Why don't all doctors do functional medicine? Well, a couple of reasons, mainly because they're busy diagnosing and treating disease. Most people wait until they need medical care to go to a doctor, and they need crisis care. And that's important that they provide that. And they also are not trained in functional medicine. It requires special extra training that functional medicine practitioners, whether they're medical doctors or chiropractors or acupuncturists or naturopaths, we go to extra seminars every year to maintain our knowledge, all the latest research and new treatments and techniques that become available every year in hotels around the country. All doctors are required to do continuing education like this to maintain their licenses, and so functional medicine practitioners choose to focus that continuing education on functional medicine seminars, conventions, symposium, etc., including the endocrinology conference that I go to every year. It's coming up next month in Austin, Texas, so I'll be there with the Laboratory Endocrine and Neurotransmitter Symposium in Austin, Texas next month. So yeah, current doctors just don't have that training They're probably, most of them are not that interested in it. And the other main reason is insurance companies, by and large, do not pay for functional medicine. Insurance, health insurance, it has nothing to do with health. There's nothing that your health insurance will pay for that will keep you healthier. It is medical insurance. Medical insurance pays for medical care. People pool their resources so that when one of us is in a crisis, there's money there available to get you through that crisis. It's not going to pay for your gym membership or your vitamins or to come see me. It will pay for diagnostic tests if you go to your regular doctor who has a contract with your insurance company. Then that doctor, anything they do, is by definition considered medically necessary. But that's also why they won't do all of the tests that are often required to do a good functional medicine workup, because they are literally medically unnecessary. It's really easy to diagnose an obvious medical condition like high cholesterol or high blood pressure or full-blown kidney disease or liver disease or cardiovascular disease with just a few blood tests. These things are obvious and simple to diagnose. It requires more tests to get an impression, a good impression, of what's happening in every organ and system in your body. So that's why 80% of the time I order a 55-point blood panel that would cost most insurance companies about $1,400. Well, I get that $1,400 panel for $225. So even though you have to pay out of pocket for it, you get a lot of really good information for that money, and it's a lot of value for your money. Here's some exciting news in the medical press. Moderate wine consumption has maintained its association with cardiovascular benefit when self-reports were taken out of the equation, a large PREDIMED trial showed. So this is really exciting because there's been a lot of controversy about, is wine beneficial, how beneficial, how much is too much, etc. There are some studies that say there are no safe amounts of alcohol, but there are lots more that suggest that for men, consuming 2 servings or less per day, 14 per week, is healthy, and for women, half that, 1 per day, 7 per week. And that includes wine, obviously. And these are studies about the benefits of wine, are mainly red wine because of the antioxidants and polyphenols like resveratrol that are in the skins of grapes. But what they did in this study, which is really neat, they used a marker called tartaric acid in urine. So they did urine tests and used tartaric acid as an objective biomarker to measure wine consumption, because you can directly determine how much wine someone drank by how much tartaric acid shows up in their urine. And they tied this to lower risk of long-term cardiovascular disease, combined heart failure, myocardial infarction, which is a heart attack, strokes, and cardiovascular disease death. This was in an older Mediterranean population and reported at the University of Barcelona. The lead study, Dr. Ramon Estruc, MD, PhD of the University of Barcelona, and his colleagues, and they compared people with the lowest tartaric acid, say that 3 times fast, lowest tartaric acid level to people with tartaric acid levels consistent with moderate wine consumption, and found that they had cardiovascular protection over a 9-year follow-up period. So this is the equivalent of drinking 1 or 2 glasses of wine per day 3 times a week, which for most people is perfectly reasonable. So cheers to that. While we're on the subject, the one group that always comes to mind, which for whom, unfortunately, no alcohol is safe, any amount of alcohol. If a woman has a high risk, family risk factors, siblings who had breast cancer, other risk factors for many risk, look up on breastcancer.org the risk factors for breast cancer. Any woman who has a lot of risk factors for breast cancer really should not drink any alcohol, because it dramatically furthers that increased risk of getting breast cancer. But for most of us, drinking 1 or 2 glasses of wine 3 times a week is reasonable and healthy. Increases your cardiovascular health. I'm Dr. Todd Binkley. You're listening to Safe, Effective, Natural Solutions to Almost Any Health Challenge. Here's an exciting headline: White bread out, salmon in. FDA releases, quote, healthy food claim rule. So this is the first update to the nutrient content claims that can be put on food in 30 years. Salmon, low-fat yogurt, trail mix, olive oil, and eggs are among the foods that can now be called healthy under a final rule issued by the FDA last Thursday. Meanwhile, fortified white bread and highly sweetened yogurt and cereal, which previously qualified, ridiculously qualified as healthy, failed to meet the upgraded criteria. So this is exciting, because people people think bread is healthy, and you know, it's oh fine for most people to eat some bread, but it's a really good, it's like the first thing a lot of people should eliminate from their diet if they're overweight, if they have risk of diabetes or heart disease, any chronic inflammatory condition. Yes, white bread is worse than whole wheat bread or Ezekiel or, you know, heavy grain breads, but all of that stuff ends up being starch that turns into sugar, raises your triglyceride levels, increases inflammation in your body, causes weight gain, etc. And so it's good. It's really good that that's no longer, bread is no longer, especially fortified in white bread, is no longer going to be called a healthy food. It is not. Also sweetened yogurt. So what's sweetened yogurt? It's most of the yogurt people buy from stores. If your yogurt has any flavor in it, I can virtually guarantee you that it also has sugar in it. If it's sugar-free, it often has sugar alcohols in it, which all have all kinds of problems. I did a whole podcast on the problems with sugar alcohols like mannitol and xylitol and erythritol. So, yeah, sweetened yogurt, no good. Get the plain Greek yogurt, full fat Greek yogurt. Anything that's low fat is high sugar. And most of the low fat yogurts have sugar in them also. So the best kind of yogurt to get is plain, full fat, not low fat Greek yogurt. And add your own things to flavor it. Add your own berries, fresh or frozen. Add your own nuts and seeds and cinnamon and, you know, lots of things you can add to your own yogurt to make it delicious that are better for you as well. And it's my most exciting to me, cereal can no longer be called a healthy food. There's about as many nutrients in the box that most breakfast cereal comes in as there are in the contents of the box. No one should eat breakfast cereal, in my opinion. It's just not food. It's just sugar and starch, and among the worst kinds of starch and sugar. One of the worst things to put in your body first thing in the morning when you really should be eating some healthy fats and protein like eggs and whole fat Greek yogurt and cottage cheese. And, you know, you can also, it's actually legal to eat anything you would eat for lunch or dinner first thing in the morning. I eat a savory breakfast every morning. Things like sardines and salmon and smoked oysters and sometimes just a little ham or turkey. Olives, olive oil. The Greeks and other Mediterranean cultures start out the day with a shot of olive oil. So if you're going to do that, you don't want to get Bertolli's or cheap crap oil from a supermarket. Get some good olive oil from a farmer's market or Whole Foods or a health food store. Or they have sometimes a couple of good ones at Trader Joe's as well. You want to think of that olive oil that you're going to drink as a shot or to put on your salads, not to cook with. The cheap stuff is okay to cook with. Cheaper stuff is okay to cook with. But if you're going to drink it, you want to get the good stuff. And the good stuff costs about $16 or more for a small bottle. But for putting on your salads, you know, you're not going to cook with this because it will destroy many of the beneficial polyphenols that give it that sort of kind of dry, astringent taste in the back of your throat. That's how a good way to tell if you've got a good olive oil is a good olive oil has this kind of peppery, astringent, dry taste that hits the back of your throat when you eat it, especially if you do a shot of it. And you can blunt that a little bit by adding, if you're going to do a shot of olive oil in the morning, you can blunt that that spicy astringency by adding a little balsamic vinegar or lemon to it. A small amount of salt and pepper is also nice. So if you've never tried that, I recommend it. It's a great way to start the day with fat that your body can burn slowly as energy throughout the day so that you won't get that crash in the middle of the morning that makes you want a sugary snack and more coffee like you get after eating pancakes and waffles and hash browns and donuts and bagels first thing in the morning. You get a sugar spike and a crash, and that's not a good way to start any day. If you're finding it difficult to eat breakfast at all, if you're one of those people that just gets up and has coffee and a piece of toast on the way out the door, then a good way to, you know, plan your breakfast so that you have something that's ready so you don't have to prepare anything. So yogurt's easy, obviously. If you don't have time to cook eggs, but you don't mind having hard-boiled eggs, you can hard-boil an egg the night before, stick it in the fridge, and have that ready to go. And you can eat things that are prepared, like my favorite, tinned salmon packed in olive oil, tinned smoked oysters packed in olive oil, polecot, low-mercury tuna packed in oil. These are whole fillet tunas in a can, brand like a Wild Planet. If just the thought of fish from a can sounds disgusting to you, in my opinion, a lot of it is, especially if it's packed in water, and because it gets more exposed to the air if it's packed in water, and exposure to the air rancifies the omega-3 fats, the healthy fats you want from fish, and that's what causes, that's a big part of what causes fish to taste fishy. So that is minimized, and the fish in a can is much more delicious if it's packed in olive oil. So look for those things. They're available at Bonds and Trader Joe's, most places. So getting back to this FDA ruling, Jim Jones, Deputy Commissioner of the FDA's Human Foods Program, stressed that diet-related chronic diseases such as heart disease, cancer, and diabetes are the leading causes of disability and death in the U.S., and they are one reason that our nation, our great nation, has one of the lowest life expectancies among large, high-income countries. How sad is that? We're the richest country on earth and have the lowest life expectancy among other rich countries. So now people will be able to look for the healthy claim and find nutritious foods that actually are healthy, unlike some of the claims from times past. Some examples of the new claims for a cereal to have the label healthy claim on it. It has to have a minimum amount of whole grains and adhere to limits for saturated fat, salt, and sugar. Nuts and seeds, higher fat fish such as salmon, certain oils, and water are examples of foods that did not qualify. Unbelievable. Did not previously qualify for a healthy claim. I'm going to say that again. Nuts and seeds, higher fat fish such as salmon, certain oils, and water didn't used to be considered by the FDA to qualify for the healthy claim on their food label. So now they're considered foundational to a healthy eating pattern and recommended by the dietary guidelines. Finally, they point out that there are some foods that are affordable for people on a budget that are also going to have the healthy label now, such as peanut butters and some canned fruits and vegetables that are not packed in sugar. And of course, an easy way to find the healthiest food in a grocery store or a supermarket is to stick to the perimeter of the store where all the fresh food is, and maybe stop off through the middle, usually in the middle where the frozen vegetables and berries are kept, because they're preferable to most canned vegetables and almost always better than canned fruit that's packed in corn syrup. All right, another headline, wildfire smoke and incident dementia. So I've done several shows before about all the dangers of wildfire smoke, something that we're going to be exposed to more and more as the years go by. It just seems like it's never any way to get rid of the risk for wildfires, especially here on the West Coast, but around the world increasingly. So this was a study led by Joan Casey, epidemiologist and professor at the University of Washington School of Public Health, published in JAMA Neurology, discussing the dangers of wildfire smoke. And so what is wildfire smoke? What is the dangerous aspects? Why does it cause so many problems? Well, it's a mixture of gases and particles, the most important particle being PM2.5, or particles less than 2.5 micrometers in diameter. So these are the things that float, small enough to float in the air, and obviously you can see them. So anything that you can see floating in the air can get into the lungs, into the deepest recesses of the lungs, and then move directly into the bloodstream and causing inflammation and oxidative stress and DNA damage to the body. And so in that study, they saw a much stronger relationship between long-term exposure to particulate matter, 2.5 or smaller, specifically from wildfires, than other sources of small, fine particulate matter, like the dust from, if you live near a highway, the dust from car tires and other things that generate dust from just the surface of the earth. Wildfire smoke is mainly organic material burning in forests, but it's also, even that's bad enough, but it's obviously way worse when you're getting wildfire smoke from houses and cars and buildings full of toxic heavy metals and chemicals that become part of that ash that we end up breathing. So wildfire smoke has more of these ultra-fine particles that move from the nose directly into the brain, potentially damaging brain cells and resulting in dementia. So most days when people are walking around, we're not exposed to wildfire smoke at all. But those few days a year matter more than we used to understand. And climate change intensifying, there's going to be more times when we're exposed to really high levels. And so just a big one-time exposure they're showing now, can result in a dramatically increased risk of dementia. So on the days, I've done shows about this before too, please check those out again, on the days when there is wildfire smoke and for several days after the fires go out, it's a good idea to stay indoors if you have allergies or, you know, older difficulty breathing for any other reason. but especially at night, you know, keep the windows closed, get a good MERV 13 filter, change your filters in your homes, in your offices after the fires, and make sure it's rated MERV 13. That's the rating for filtering that high of a rating will filter out fine particulate matter and COVID and other viruses. And then also in your house, I recommend in your bedroom, especially getting a HEPA filter, a quiet HEPA filter, so that all night at least you're breathing air that's been cleaned thoroughly. And you can get a good HEPA filter on Amazon for $99. Shoot me an email if you want a link to that. The brand is Medify. My favorite one is Medify MA25 model. That's a size that's about 1.5 feet high and 10 inches square. It's big enough to do about 500 to 700 square feet, or, you know, one room. And it's quiet and it doesn't waste a lot of filters. So the filters last longer than in some other types of HEPA filters, and it's very, very quiet, so you can run it in your bedroom and it won't keep you awake at night. So the study found that a 1 microgram per meter cubed 3-year average in wildfire generated fine particulate matter caused an 18% increased risk in developing dementia in the people they tested. So if you live in areas where wildfires, which we all do, do what you can to protect yourself. And, you know, if you want to find out, you can go to airnow.gov to find out the air quality index. Anywhere you live, go to airnow.gov, and you can see there's different ratings for air quality. And you can look at the air quality index and find out if you should be maybe even wearing a mask when you're outdoors. An N95 or a KN95, or, you know, if you need to stay inside, run a filtration system. The air quality index of over 101, they recommend for older adults to stay indoors, reduce outdoor activities, wear a face mask, etc., and try to stay inside, shut the windows, run an air filtration system. For everyone else, not older people, but everyone else, the air quality index recommended to take protective measures is 151. And you can see what that is for your area anytime by going to airnow.gov. I have had so many patients over the years who are complaining of phlegm or coughing when they wake up or postnasal drip, especially if it's first thing in the morning, then anything like that, any respiratory symptoms that you have, coughing, sneezing, postnasal drip, phlegm coming up that you have to spit out, especially if it's first thing in the morning or at night, then it's clear that running a HEPA filter, high efficiency particulate air filter in your bedroom to filter that stuff out makes a huge difference. And I've seen this on scores of patients. They're always surprised when it happens, very pleasantly surprised that you can wake up in the morning and now you can breathe because you've been breathing clean air all night long. So when you have that phlegm being produced in that mucus, that's your body's natural response to particulates getting down into the crevices of your lungs. Your body produces that mucus and causes you to cough it up and spit it out to get rid of it. That's what you want. You definitely want to get rid of that stuff. But if you find that you're doing that all the time, it'd also be a good idea to eliminate your exposure to that, or at least keep it to an absolute minimum. And when you do, not only will you find that your body's producing less phlegm and you're not coughing and sneezing and having to spit that stuff up as much as you used to, but you're also reducing your risk of dementia and reducing your risk of any chronic issues with your sinuses, with your lungs, reducing your risk of even certain lung cancers and cardiovascular disease. There's more and more data coming out on this all the time. Check out my previous podcasts talking about the links between wildfire smoke and cardiovascular disease. So I hate to be, you know, doom and gloom forecaster, because, you know, wildfires are going to be unavoidable for most of us in so many places around the world, but you can take protective measures to dramatically reduce your risk. We are out of time. As always, thank you for tuning in. Have a wonderful weekend.
You've been listening to Safe, Effective, Natural Solutions with Dr. Todd Binkley. If you have a health question you want discussed on the show, email your health questions to Dr. Binkley at binkleyhealingcenter.com. Take advantage of this opportunity to ask questions for yourself and for your loved ones, because our health matters. Join him next Friday at 2 p.m. for Safe, Effective Natural Solutions here on 98.3 FM, The Word.